Today's daf is Beit Daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis. We just began the sugya of Breira yesterday, so we're going to continue in the sugya of Breira. The Gemara is going to be mechalik between the possibility of whether we hold a Breira on a Daraisa level versus holding on when it comes to Dinim Darabanan, that we're mechalik perhaps between Darabanans and Daraisa when it comes to Breira. Then the Gemara is going to go through the Chiddush of each line of our Mishnah, the Chiddush in saying that the Tchum of a Kli that's borrowed on Erev Yantif would follow the borrower, and the Tchum of a Kli that's borrowed on Yantif would follow the Tchum of the lender. What's the Chiddush in each of those lines? The Gemara is then going to discuss why it is that when it comes to Mayim Umelech of one person, you have salt and water of one person that's that's mixed into the dish of another person, why it is that we don't assume the salt and the water are just automatically batel, and therefore, since it should be batel, it should completely follow the Tchum of the person who's making the dish, not the person who owns the water and the salt. So that's going to be a major discussion about bittul with regard to tchum, and that's going to take us through most of Amud Beis, and then the Gemara is going to talk about why weren't the salt and the water batel. Then the Gemara at the end of that conversation is going to say, okay, bottom line, what do we have? What are the actual reasons why it's not batel? And the Gemara is going to have three reasons at the very end of the daf why they are not batel. So again, we started yesterday the sugya of Breira. The context that it came up in was we spoke about if two people buy a chavis or a behema b'shutfus, so Rav held the chavis is mutter and the behema is aser. What does it mean the chavis is mutter? That each one could take it to where it could take his portion of the chavis, his portion of the barrel of wine that they bought, once they split it, to wherever he's allowed to go, to anywhere within his tchum. But when it comes to the behema, Rav held, the behema is going to be aser. Even once they split the behema, you're limited by the tchum of the other party. So the Gemara raised the question, well, if Rav holds yesh breira, so then both by the behema and by the chavis, we should say that it's hover adavr lemafreya, this was always your portion, and you should be allowed to take it throughout your tchum. Even by the behema, you should be allowed to take it throughout your tchum, and not be limited by the tchum of the other party. And if Rav doesn't hold of breira, so then, no matter by the case of the chavis as well, whichever part you got is partially the stuff that belonged to the other party at the onset of Shabbos Yantiv, so it should be limited by his tchum. So either way, whichever way Rav holds, one of these halachos doesn't seem to work. So the Gemara said maybe Rav holds yesh breira, but when it comes to the behema, since each part of the behema is yonik from the other part of the behema, it's considered limited by the other guys, by the other person's tchum. So then the Gemara asked a kasha on Rav, and Rav was quiet. So the Gemara had said, okay, so bottom line, what do we hold? So the Gemara had, when we finished yesterday, with the machlokas, that Rav Hoshi Amar Yesh Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Breira. If you want to know what we hold, it's a machlokas. Rav Hoshi says Yesh Breira, Rav Yochanan says Ein Breira. So the Gemara is going to raise the question, is that really true? We're going to ask on each of these opinions, how can we say Rav Hoshi holds Yesh Breira? Don't we find elsewhere that he holds Ein Breira? How could we say Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira? Don't we find elsewhere that Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh Breira? But again, right now we're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. Shagasari raises the question that according to Shitas HaTosfos, Tosfos and Gittin Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Tosfos holds that according to the Shita that Ein Breira, that Ein Breira is a suffix by all Shutvin, if each one is Mekabel his Chelek or Chelek Chavero or Mixas Mizeh, meaning if you hold Ein Breira, so whenever Shutvin are Mechalik anything, so you're never really sure, are they getting what was really theirs, or are they getting partially what was there as part of the other guys? Are they getting entirely the other guy's portion and the other guy is getting their portion whenever Shutvin use anything or divide anything? So the Shagasai raises the question, so then why does Rabbi Yochanan hold by Chavis its Aser? Because Ein Breira, since it's possible that each one is mekabel the chelek that's shayach to him, meaning the way Tos says it is a suffek. You don't know. It's not that for sure you're getting some of the stuff that's yours and some of the stuff that belongs to the other party. No, maybe you're getting all the stuff that's yours. Maybe when you divide the chavis, every molecule of wine that you get was actually yours, and every molecule of wine that he gets is actually his. Or maybe not. Maybe it's somehow a mixture of both, or maybe you're getting entirely his. But if it's really midin suffek, the way Tos and Gittin says it, ask Shagasaryeh, why don't we say suffix rabban lakula? Tchumin is Drabanan, and since the whole din of Breira, of Ein Breira, is based on the Suffolk, the way Tosus understands it, so we say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula, that maybe we should assume that whatever part of the barrel that I got was really mine the whole time, and therefore I'm allowed to carry it throughout my entire Tchum. So the Shagazari suggests Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Ashi, who holds that by a Dover Sheish Lamatirin, Suffolk is Aser, just like Dover Sheish Lamatirin is not Batel, meaning we know by Dover Sheish Lamatirin, we're not going to rely on bittul, and we just wait till it becomes mutter. So too, we don't apply Suffolk Drabanan Lakula by a davar sheish lamatirin. So over here also, since it's davar sheish lamatirin, therefore this fake, in the case of Suffolk, it's going to be us. So that's how Shagas Aryeh answers it.
Why is it because
tchum. So, meaning the tchum is going to not be yasser anymore once Shabbos Yantav is over. So the Beis Halevi, however, is metarits differently. He says that if you say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula, so you should allow him to take it b'tchum chavero as well. Meaning Lakula just doesn't mean that it's mine, that I got my chelek. Lakula means I could do the maximum with it. So it, just like you have a suffix that maybe I got my entire chelek, I also have a suffix maybe I got his entire chelek, so maybe I could send with the shliach the chelek that I got throughout the other party's entire tchum, even when it's outside of my tchum, if you want to say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula, but then obviously it's going to be Suffolk Drabanan Lakula, that's going to be a stira minei ubei, because if I could take it throughout my tchum and I could take it throughout his tchum, well, it can't be that you can take it throughout both, so you don't say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula in such a case, when it's going to be two kulas that are sosar each other, like the Ran and Pesachim with the Dalit Kosos, so you don't say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula on the first two kosos, and then again on the last two kosos, because you know for sure that you're supposed to lean for two of the kosos. So over here also, that's how the Beis Halevi is metarets, why we wouldn't say Suffolk Drabanan Lakula over here. So anyway, so the Gemara says, okay, so we came to this conclusion that Rav Hoshea holds Yesh Breira, Rabbi Yochanan holds Ein Breira. In fact, the Gemara of Rav Hoshea Yesh Breira, does Rav Hoshea really hold Yesh Breira? Vatnan, we have the following Mishnah, Hames Bebayis, let's say you have a dead body in a house, Velop Sachem Harbe, and there are a lot of doorways to the house, so there is a halach called Sof Tumah Latzeis, that we assume wherever the Tumah is going to ultimately go out, underneath all those awnings, through all those doorways, where the Tumah might ultimately go out, they're all Tameh. So the halach is Kulan Tameim, even though the mace is only going to go out of one of these doors, all of the doors are considered Tameh right now. But Niftach Echad Mehen, if one of the doors gets opened up, so now there's a reason to distinguish one door from all the others. Hu Tameh V'Kulan Torin. So only that door that the mace is actually going to go through, because the one that's actually opened up, only that one is Tameh. The rest of the doorways are now Tar. The awnings outside of the rest of the doorways are now going to be Tar. Let's say you didn't open up one of the doors. You just had a machshava that you had a plan on taking this mace out through doorway A, or through a window that's 4x4 tfachim, matzelas ala psachim kulan. Then all the other doorways are going to be tahar, because once you made up your mind that you're going to take it through one doorway, so sof tuma latzei applies to that doorway and none of the others. Beishamai says, yes, that works as long as you already had that machshava before the dead body was in the house, before the person died. So before there was any tumah, before the other doorways had a chance to become tameh, you already had knocked out the other doorways from the cheshbon, and you had elevated one doorway as the one that you were going to use. So that's why it works that the other doorways are not tameh. But Af Mishayamus HaMeis. Beis Hillel says, no, even if the mace dies 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's not till 10 o'clock in the morning that you decide to take the mace through doorway A, still the awnings under, anything that was under doorway B, doorway C, doorway D, they're all Tahar. So V'itmar Allah, Amrav Hoshia, Letaris HaPsach Mikan Alaba. What does it mean they're all Tahar? It means that if you put a kli underneath the awnings by doorway B, C, or D, after 10 o'clock in the morning, then those items are going to be tahar. But mikan laba in the mafreya lo. But anything that was under those awnings at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:15, 9:30 in the morning, before you made that decision, is still going to be tameh. Because after all, at 9 o'clock, you had not yet chosen doorway A as your doorway. So all the other doorways are still going to be tameh. Lemafreya, certainly they're still going to be tameh from before your decision. So bottom line is, you see, Rav Hoshea holds that it's tameh.
tamei l'mafreya. Why is it tamei l'mafreya? Must be because he does not hold of breira. If he holds of breira, it means he holds that retroactively we can say doorway A was always destined to be the doorway that you were going to bring the mace through, and therefore any tumah that was underneath the awnings of any of the other doors is, or any kalim or any items that, or any food that was underneath the awnings of any of the other doors should automatically be tar, because it's huvra davar l'mafreya that they were never destined to become tamei. But he doesn't say that. He says that they're tamei. So you see that he doesn't hold of breira. So says Gemara, you're right. Epoch. Rav Hoshi Amar ein breira. Rav Yochanan Amar yesh breira. It is machlokas Rav Hoshi and Rav Yochanan whether we say breira. We just got the machlokas backwards. It's Rav Hoshi who does not hold of breira. Rav Yochanan who does hold of breira. So says Gemara, really? Umi isle the Rav Yochanan breira. Does Rav Yochanan hold of breira? We can show you a case in Shas where Rav Yochanan rejects breira. Ravas says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'achin shecholku. Let's say brothers get a Yerusha from their father. So what do? So they're not going to all share everything. They divide up the Yerusha. The father owns certain homes and fields and businesses. So one takes this business, one takes that business. Everyone takes something else from the Yerusha. So one takes this field, one takes that field. But then what happens when Yovel comes? Do we assume by Yovel that they are all the original owners, and therefore nothing changes at Yovel? If one brother got one field, another brother got another field, everyone just keeps what they got, and they don't have to cheshbon everything again? Or do we assume, no, everyone inherited a shutfus in each and every field. When Reuven decided to take field A and Shimon decided to take field B, that was their own deal they were making. That wasn't part of the Yerusha. That was their own purchase that they were making between them, where Reuven traded away his chelek in field B for the entire field A, and Shimon traded away his chelek in field A for the entire field B. If it's their own deal, then they're just regular lekuchos. You do business with family, it's still business. So Yovel's going to come, and they should have to go back to the original shutfus and determine again. If Reuven wasn't happy with field A, so Yovel will come, he'll be able to say, I don't want field A anymore, I want to work out some other arrangement. That would be, and he'd be well within his rights. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Ha'achin shecholku lekuchos hein. They have a din of lekuchos, umachzirin zel zebi Yovel, and therefore they can go back in Yovel, and they do go back in Yovel and reassess how they want to split up the fields, or decide not to split it at all. But things do go back to the original Tefisas Abayis, to the original Yerusha in Yovel. So bottom line, what do we see? That Rabbi Yochanan holds that we don't assume that when each person takes his portion, it's Huvra Adavr L'Mafreya, that was my Yerusha the whole time. No, we assume that your Yerusha was the Ashutfus and everything. And when you decided to take one field, that's a Lukuchos. That's not a Huvra Adavr L'Mafreya, that was your Yerusha. So we see Rabbi Yochanan rejects Breira. So says Gemara, V'chitei Melesle Rabbi Yochanan Breira B'dal Raisa. Yeah, where does Rabbi Yochanan reject Breira? When we're dealing with Dinim Dal Raisa, like Yerusha. Yerusha is a Din Dal Raisa. So to go against Tvar Torah, we're not going to rely on Breira. Avol B'drabanan Islay. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan will hold of Breira when it comes to Tchumin. Tchumin are only Drabanan. So when it comes to Dinim Drabanan, maybe that's where Rabbi Yochanan will hold of Breira. So frankly, Gemara, but that doesn't work either. Does Rabbi Yochanan hold of Breira by Dinim Drabanan? Will prove to you that even by Dinim Drabanan, Rabbi Yochanan rejects Breira, because we have a Din Drabanan called Eruv. And what happens? We have the following Mishnah. Vatani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Masna al Shnei Dvarim Keechad, El Imbachacham Lemizrach, Eruv al Lemizrach. Lemarav eruva lemarav vilukan lukan lo. That if a person cannot make a double tanai at the same time, meaning, let's say a person knows that a great Talmud Chacham is going to be visiting within the within 4,000 amos of his town, and he wants to go hear this Talmud Chacham on Shabbos, but he doesn't know which direction the Talmud Chacham is coming in. So he could set up an eruv lemizrach of the city and an eruv lemarav of the city, and he'll make a tanai whichever direction that Talmud Chacham comes, that's where I want my Erev to be chal, and that absolutely works, that's fine, nothing wrong with that. But let's say there are two Talmud Chamidicham coming to town, one the Mizrach, one the Marav, and he hasn't yet decided which one he wants to go hear. He doesn't know if he wants to hear the Talmud Chacham coming to Mizrach or the Talmud Chacham the Marav. So he's not allowed to set up an Eruv on both sides of the town and say, whichever one I decide tomorrow, whichever one I decide on Shabbos, I'm more in the mood for. One's a great Darshan and one's a great Pesach. So I'll decide tomorrow. If I'm more in the mood for Halacha, I'll go to the Pesach. If I'm more in the mood for Drush, I'll go to the Darshan. So that you're not allowed to do, because that's relying on Breira. But wait a second, what are we dealing with already? We're dealing with Tchum and Rabbanan, and still we're not going to rely on Breira. So it's not going to work. So the Lekan and Lekan Lo, Rashi explains, if both of them come, so you can't say L'makom she'erze eilech, that I'll just go wherever I want, and I'll choose tomorrow where I'm going to go, and the Eruv will be Chal Ben HaShmashos L'mafreya, to whichever one I decide I'm going to go tomorrow. That's Breira. We don't rely on Breira, Rabbi Yochanan says. So we see that even on the Rabbanan, we don't rely on Breira. Va'avinuba, we're not up to Rabbi Yochanan yet, but Va'avinuba, so that we haven't proven that Rabbi Yochanan holds this yet. Va'avinuba, and the Gemara raises the question, Maishna lekanu lekandalo de'in Breira, why is it that if you set up two separate Erev in two different places, and having in mind that you're going to decide tomorrow, that we assume that it doesn't work, it's because Ein Breira, Mizrach Umarav Nami Ein Breira. Well, even if it's one Talmud Chacham, and you set up one Erev to the east and one Erev to the west, aren't you not going to figure out which way you're going to go till Shabbos already starts? So shouldn't we say Ein Breira there as well, and that it shouldn't work? So Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained, Ukvar Ba Chacham. No, the case is, when there's only one Talmud Chacham, the reason it works is that by the time Ben HaShmashos arrives, the Talmud Chacham has already come to either the Mizrach or the Marav. You just don't know which one it is. So it doesn't require a Vara Davar Mafreya. It's already Huvrar. You just don't know yet. You'll find out tomorrow on Shabbos which Erev was Chal. But the Erev was already Chal right then at Ben HaShmashos in whichever direction the Talmud Chacham came. But bottom line, from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that gives this answer, Rabbi Yochanan is one that analyzes this distinction between the case of the one rabbi where you just don't know which side he came, and the case of the two rabbis where you're going to decide first on Shabbos which Erev you want to be Chal. So you see Al Malesa Rabbi Yochanan Breira. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Breira. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan has to say Kvar Ba'Chacham also, you see that he doesn't hold of Breira even by Tchum and Rabbanan. He wouldn't have to say Kvar Ba'Chacham. He wouldn't have to say that the Chacham is already there, even if the Chacham wasn't there Ben HaShmashos. If you held of Breira, it should be Huvar Adavar L'Mafreya, that the Erev was Chal. So you see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Breira even when dealing with a din derabanan. So we did this in two steps. First, we thought that Rav Hoshea is the one that says Yesh Breira, and Rabbi Yochanan says Ein Breira. So we said, no, Rav Hoshea definitely rejects Breira. We learned that from the case of Tumah, that Rav Hoshea definitely rejects Breira. So we said, okay, so switch it. Rav Hoshea rejects Breira, Rabbi Yochanan accepts Breira. So Gemara says, no, but we know from a case of Lekuchos, of Achen Shechalku, that Rabbi Yochanan also rejects Breira. So he said, maybe that's only on Daraisa level. But maybe on a Drabana level, Rabbi Yochanan does accept Breira. But no, here we see Be'er of Tchumen that even on a Drabana level, Rabbi Yochanan rejects Breira. So everyone rejects Breira by everything. You have Rav Hoshea rejecting Breira, Rabbi Yochanan rejecting Breira. So who holds of Breira? So we're stuck a little bit over here. So says Mar Liolam Lo Tepuch. Let's go back to square one. We'll go back to what we said originally. That who holds of Breira? Rav Hoshea is the one that holds of Breira. Meaning, you're right, we have successfully proven that Rabbi Yochanan rejects Breira both with regard to Dinim Daraisa and with regard to Dinim Drabanan. So who holds a Breira? Rav Hoshea holds a Breira. Yeah, but didn't we prove Rav Hoshea rejects Breira? Well, we proved that Rav Hoshea rejects Breira in a specific case of a bias that has a mace in it when it comes to Tumas Mace. Tumas Mace happens to be a din da'oraisa. We have not proven that Rav Hoshea rejects Breira when it comes to Dinim Drabanan. So the Olam Lo Tepuch, v'chilase Rav Hoshea Breira, Bidaraisa, Aval Bidrabanan Islay. Maybe Rav Hoshea rejects Breira when dealing with the Din Daraisa, but when dealing with the Din Drabanan, he would hold of Breira. So Darish Marzucha, Halacha, Krav Hoshea, Kasha? And Rav Zuch says, yeah, and that's the way we paskin, that when it comes to Dal Raisa, we reject Breira, we do not rely on Breira for Dinim Dal Raisa. When it comes to Dinim Drabanan, we accept Breira. The Ran writes in Gittin, Daf Yud Beis and Beis, that when we say B'dal Raisa Ein Breira, that's only L'chumra. Meaning, one could ask the following. When we say that Dal Raisa Ein Breira, Drabanan Yesh Breira, is that just another way of saying that we're not sure whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira? So when it comes to Dal Raisa, we'll say Savik Dal Raisa L'chumra. When it comes to Drabanan, we'll say Savik Drabanan L'kula. Meaning, is the Gemara's real maskana that Rav Oshia just doesn't know whether we hold a Breira or not? And that's why when it comes to Dinim Dal Raisa, he'll be Machmir. So we'll say Ein Breira. When it comes to Dinim Drabanan, he'll be Mekel. We'll say Yesh Breira. Or is he sure? He does know. He knows that we definitely hold of Breira for Drabanans, but not for Dal Raisa. It's not Betaras Safek. It's Betaras Vadai. Nafkamina would be if relying on Breira would be a Chumrah. If we're relying on Breira would be a Chumra, would you say it by a Din Drabanan? If not relying on Breira would be a Kula, would you say it by a Din Daraisa? So the Ran writes, that which we say that we don't rely on Breira on a Daraisa, that's only when not relying on Breira is the Chumra. But if not relying on Breira is a Kula, then we would rely on Breira for a Din Daraisa. We'd always go in the more Chumra direction. So if a person, let's say, tells a Sofer, write a get for whichever woman I decide that I want to divorce. He's married to two women. He knows he can't handle two wives, but he's trying to figure out which one to vote off or whatever reality television show this would fit. So he's deciding which one he doesn't want. So he hasn't yet decided. So he wants to be sure. So he wants to be ready for when he decides to divorce one of them. So he tells himself, write a get for Eza Sheirza Agarish. So the halach is Harezu Safik Megureshes. That's what the Rambam paskins. So it sounds like, why would it be Safik Megureshes? Meaning that relies on Breira. It would only be, we should say it's nothing. We're dealing with Din Dal Raisa. There's no Breira on a Din Dal Raisa. So the get's for sure no good. So there shouldn't be any Safik Megureshes. Why would you say Safik Megureshes? Because you have to assume that when we say that on a Dal Raisa in Breira, that means that it's a Misafik, so we're going to go L'chumra. Well, by a get, the bigger Chumra would be Safik Megureshes, that you need another get, but she's also not considered married to him anymore. She's Safik Megureshes. That's the biggest chumra you have by get. So on a Daraisa, we're always going to be Machmir Misafik. That's how the Ran understands, and that's what it seems like from the Rambam as well in the third parak of Hilchos Gerushin. The Yamshel Shlomo, Maseches Baba Kama, writes that even when it's a Kula, we don't say Breira on a Daraisa. We don't say that it's all a din of Safik L'chumra. And he proves it from Arasugya. Ha'achin Shecholku L'kuchosein U'magzir. What's the din by a Safek Mamon? So by a Safek Mamon, we don't just say, oh, you have to go back and divide it again. You have to return whatever you got. By a Safek Mamon, the rule is, Hamotzi Mechaveru Alav Haraya. Let's say Reuven's not happy with the field that he got, and Shimon is perfectly happy with the field that he got. So Reuven says, okay, we're dividing it up again. Yovel, okay, we're dividing it up. Shimon can say, prove to me that's the halacha. I'm perfectly happy with what I got. So the fact that we say machzirin lezel zabiyovel shows that it's not midin safek, that it's midin vaday. That's the raya that the Yamshel Shlomo has. And it proves from the Rambam, from the psak of the Rambam in Hilchos Becharos, he paskins that if the brothers divide up gedim neged gedim, they're potter from meiser. So you see, even but lekula we say that ein breira. So he says that the Yamshel Shlomo just points out l'chora that's a stira in the Rambam though, because the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin said that it was halach of safik megureshes. So apparently he held it was din safik, not a din vaday. So it's a stira in the Rambam. Yamshel Shlomo in general in his Hakdama, he points out he has a lot of problems with the Rambam. He doesn't like he attacks the Rambam. He doesn't think that it was fair that the Rambam wrote a sefer without giving any mar makomos. He says you never know where he's coming from. Is he coming from a Gemara, a Tosefta, this or that? So he says. He was not happy about it. But okay, so over here he has a good kasha on the Rambam. But that's the major discussion in the Rishonim, when we distinguish between Drabanan and Daraisa. Is that a distinction because of the whole thing is a din of Safek, or is that a distinction in Bitaras Vadai? Now, the Gemara seems to paskin at the end that we definitely paskin like Rav Oshia. That's what the Gemara says, that halacha Rav Oshia. Even though the Gemara paskins beferish like Rav Oshia, not all the Rishonim paskin that way. Not all the Rishonim assume that we paskin like the Maskana of the Gemara. The Rashba writes in the name of Yesh Misha Omer that the Halacha is like Rav Oshia. Kashia that Bidarai Sein Breira Bidraban Yesh Breira, and then he writes in the name of the Riyah Zakein that he passes like Rabbi Yoshia Bidraban Yesh Breira, but La Halacha even Bidarai Sein Yesh Breira, because Mishnas Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki, and Rabbi Lozer Ben Yaakov holds Yesh Breira. So he says that's a second Shita. The Rashba himself rejects that. The Mordechai says that we don't pass on Rabbi Yoshia at all. We pass on Rabbi Yochanan, both Bidarai Sein and Bidrabanan Ein Breira. Again, difficult because it's against the maskana of our Gemara, but there are different shitos and rishonim about how to actually paskin. I think la halacha we do paskin this way though, that we do paskin and rabbanon. Yeah.
The Roshan just said by the Taras of Sachem, that was the one case where he actually said his din, right? Is it possible that when we say when Marzutras says it's halacha kraboshi is only on that specific psalm?
Oh, that halacha kraboshi is only on that din. But it follows in the heels of just saying, meaning of us clarifying the Rabbi Yoshia's opinion, is that there's a chiluk between all Daraisas and all Darabanas.
Marzutra could have said, though, that the halacha is by Daraisa and the halacha is by Darabanas, but he said Dafka is by Rabbi Yoshia.
Okay, could be. Yeah, maybe that would be how to justify it. Okay, so it says, Amar Shmuel, Shor Shel Patam Hareu Karagli Kol Adam. If you have a shor that was by someone who fattens animals to sell them, so the halacha is, it's Karagli Kol Adam, which means that whoever buys that shor, is allowed to go anywhere within the buyer's tchum. Even if that buyer comes from a different city, it's always assumed to belong to that guy. We assume that the plan was always to sell to that guy, and it's in his reshus ready from Erev Yantif. Shor Shel Roe, but a shor of a shepherd, a person who's megadol his own behemos, and sometimes he'll sell some of them to people that he knows, so then it's only goes in the tchum of that city, because it's very rare that it would go to somebody from another city, that he would ever sell to somebody from another city, so you can't say that it was destined always to go to that person from the other city, even if someone from another city actually comes and buys it. So the Mishnah had said that if a person borrows a kli on Erev Yantiv, so that kli is subject to the tchum of the borrower, because he had it in his rishos when Yantiv started. So it says Gemara Pshita, of course it's subject to the tchum of the borrower. Why would anyone ever assume otherwise? So it says Gemara Lo Tzricha Shelo Masrlo Ela B'Yomtov. Now the case is, they made the agreement that Reuven's going to borrow the item from Shimon on Erev Yantiv, but delivery didn't actually happen until Yantiv. So Ma'u D'Teim Alav B'Rishus Ayukme Kamash Milan. I would have thought, well, it wasn't in Reuven's possession when Yantiv started, and therefore should not be subject to Reuven's tchum, kamash mulan, that since the agreement was already in place that Reuven was going to borrow this kli, it is subject to Reuven's tchum. Misayele Rabbi Yochanan, there's a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Tam Rabbi Yochanan, a shoel kli mechaver me'erv yom tov. Rabbi Yochanan says if a person borrows a kli from his friend on erev yom tov, af al pi shalom nasnu lo ela b'yom tov, even though delivery didn't happen until the yantiv itself, still areu karagli ha-shoel, it still goes with the tchum of the shoel, not with the tchum of the mashil. So we see it's not dependent on delivery, it's dependent on having an agreement in place. That's all one needs to have an agreement in place. Good. So then the Mishnah went on to say, b'yom tov karagli ha-mashil, that when it comes to yantiv, then it's karagli ha-mashil. Then the tchum of the item is the tchum of the lender, not the tchum of the borrower, if the loan didn't happen until Yantif. So says Mar Pshita, obviously, when Yantif started, there was never a Havamina to give it to the borrower, why would it be subject to the tchum of the borrower? Of course it's subject to the tchum of the lender. So says Mar Lotzricha, Deragil V'Sha'il Minei. Now it could be a situation where this guy is always borrowing this item from the other fellow. So you have Reuven's always borrowing Shimon's item, so one might have thought that it's already kind of like Reuven's, because you know he's going to borrow it. So kamash malan, meimaramer dilma mishka chinish achrina va'azal v'shal minei. Shimon's always holding out hope. Maybe one day he'll find another friend to borrow from, and he's not going to keep on coming to me. So he's not automatically mevatel his own rishus on the item to the person who always borrows it from him. He's hoping maybe he'll find somebody else to borrow it from, and therefore, even in that case where he's constantly borrowing from him, it's still going to take on the tchum of the lender, not the tchum of the borrower. V'cheinu isha shashol mechavirta. Then the Mishnah went on to say, if the same is true by a woman who's shol mechavirta, tavlin, mayim, melech, spices, water, salt,
for making a dough. So it's karagle shtehen. The item that she makes, the bread that she makes, is limited to the tchum of to the common tchum of both of them, to where they're both allowed to go. And it's not allowed to go outside of either one of their tchumen. That's what the Mishnah had said. So kisalik Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba was going to Eretz Yisrael, Amri Yehi Rava De'ima Milsa De Tiskabel. He said a little tefillah that he should say something that's tiskabel. He should say something that when he goes to talk to new Talmidei Chachamim in a new setting, in a new yeshiva, that people should listen to what he has to say, and that that they should enjoy his Divrei Torah. If I'm not mistaken, in the Hakdama to the Marcheshes quotes this Gemara. He says he never understood what kind of tefillah that I should say something to tiskabel. You learn Torah, you say Amito Shel Torah, then that's the common language everywhere. Amito Shel Torah works wherever you go. He said, but then Reb Chaim Soloveitchik came along and he developed a whole new methodology of learning, and it was so attractive to people with Tzvedinim and with Gavra and a Cheftza and this, and everything was so attractive to people. It changed the way people learn. So now I learn in the old style, and I go and I say a shir, and no one's interested because everyone always wants this newfangled style of the Brisker Derech, where you have this analytical method of learning. So I have to say a tefillah before I say a shir, wherever I go, that people should actually want to listen to me, because I learn in the old style. A little bit bitter, it sounds like. Right? But so Rabbi Abba said this tefillah, that I should be able to be zocha to say something that people will want to listen to. Chassam Sofer says it's inappropriate to do that. It's an inappropriate tefillah, and that's the moral of the story in this Gemara, because we're going to see that when he finally gets there, he says Torah, and everyone laughs at him. So the tefillah didn't work, and the reason the tefillah didn't work, Chassam Sofer says, because it's an inappropriate tefillah. You're not supposed to daven for your own kavod, that everyone should be happy with me, that I hope I don't embarrass myself. When you daven in learning, that things should go well in your learning, is that you should be zochet amito shel Torah, that you should say that you're doing things l'shem shemayim. So that's the Gemara in Brachos has a tefillah. Shlo yikashel b'dvar alacha, that when you go into the Beis Medrash, you say a tefillah, that you should get it right. Not that you should get it in a way where no one will catch you if you're wrong, but that you should get it right. So that's what some Sofer says, he paid the price for this tefillah. So anyway, so he davened that everything should be tiskabel. So he saw that when he got there, what does it have to do with anything? Because the discussion he's going to have is about our Mishnah. So he saw that when he got there, Ashkechel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rabbi Zera. So he found a group of Rabbanim sitting there learning. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, Bar Papi, Rabbi Zera. Va'amri la Rabbi Avov, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Or some say it was an entirely different group of Rabbanim that were sitting there and talking and learning. V'yasvi v'ka'amri, and they were sitting and they were discussing the following question. Amai, v'liftil mayim u'melech l'gabe Isa. Why is it that when Rachel lends to Leah, or gives to Leah water and salt and tavlin, and Leah makes a whole dish out of it, why is it that that dish is limited to the tchum of both Rachel and Leah? Shouldn't all of Rachel's ingredients be batel in Leah's dish that Leah made, and therefore there it should only be subject to Leah's tchum? It shouldn't be subject to Rachel's tchum at all. It should be completely batel. Fractosus Akasha here says, wait a second. Pirush Rashi hold the Isa Nefisha. Why would it be batel? Because there's more dough, there's more flour and other ingredients than there is items that Rachel had lent to Leah. Vitema, Hadavar Sheish L'Matirin Shafilu Be'elef Lo Batel. Fractosus, wait a second. Well, how could we even suggest that this would be batel? It's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin. Davar Sheish L'Matirin is not even batel be'elef. So why would we think that it's batel? V'yesh Lomer Dahani Mili Min B'mino. Av Min B'sheino Mino Kihacha Batel Shapir. When do we say a davar sheish l'matirin is not batel? That's only when it's two like kinds. But when it's min b'sheino mino, you have flour and salt. That's min b'sheino mino. You have flour and water. It's min b'sheino mino. So then it's going to be batel even by a davar sheish l'matirin. Va'od delodami l'shar yisurim da davar tali b'tam. He says, furthermore, over here it's not like other yisurim, where everything is dependent on taste. Meaning if a little chazer schmaltz falls into your chicken soup, so do you taste the chazer in the chicken soup, or do you not taste the chazer in the chicken soup? That's what it's totally on. Aval hacha isu tchumin totally b'shem b'ilim ala chayfetz. But over here, you have to remember, we're not talking about what the item tastes like. It's irrelevant. The isu of tchumin depends on who's the owner of the object. Ubekan shem b'ali isu ilavei v'lo shem b'ala samayim b'amelech. So who's the owner of this item that Leah cooked? It's clearly Leah's. Leah's the one that cooked the dish. So it's Leah's dish. It's not Rachel's dish. Ulekach yesh l'lizbata. I've got
Avdi Yav Taima. So granted, the salt that Rachel put there gave her, and the water that Rachel gave her, all that is important and critical to the dish, and therefore it could be tasted in the dish. So it wouldn't be batel if it were usher salt, let's say, or non-kosher salt. So then it wouldn't be, right? They always sell kosher salt, mashma, that there's such a thing as non-kosher. So let's say it was non-kosher salt that was in the dish. So it wouldn't be batel because you could still taste it there. But over here, this isn't a din in tam. This is a din in bailus. So it should be batel, midine bailus, it should be batel. So that's what Tosus suggests over here, that maybe it should be batel. There's an interesting discussion. In the Chuvus Rav Pa'alim, he was asked about a person who was kashering a kli. A person had a pot that needed to be kashered. So how do you kasher a pot? You get a bigger pot, and you stick the pot into the bigger pot. So the number one question people always ask when they have to kasher a pot is that the small pot doesn't fit entirely into the bigger pot all at one time. Can I kasher it piece by piece? Can I put a little bit in and just roll it around in the bigger pot? And the answer is yes, you're allowed to do that. But the Rav Pa'alim was asked the following question. A person stuck the pot into the bigger pot. It most fit, and he forgot to roll it around and make sure that it all got in. So part of the pot is treif, and part of the pot is kasher. Can you say it's batel berov? He doesn't know. He can't identify which part is the non-kosher part. Can you assume that it's batel berov, that the part that's not kosher is only a minority of the pot? So he says that whether we say bitel berov when you're dealing with one item, you know, normal bitel berov is you have three different items. Chad, betray, batel. You have three hamburgers, two of them are kosher, one of them is not kosher, so one is batel and the other two. You have different things, but over here it's one item. Would you say bitel berov within a single item? So he quotes that, the Rav Palm quotes that it's a machlokas haposkim. The Rabbi Yonis Neipschitz in Crazy Uplacy in Simon Samach Test writes in the name of Pri Chadash that let's say you have meat that was that was soaking in a sauce that had dam in it. So it becomes nesa kedei klipa. The halach is you have to peel away a klipa of the meat, but you don't know which side of the meat was inside that sauce. So then the whole thing becomes aser. But the place he says that's only if rove of the chaticha was in the tzir, was in the sauce. But if it's only a miut of the chaticha that was in the sauce, then you could assume it's batal. It's one piece. He says, yeah, but we do apply bitl brov in such case. Pri chadash is cholik. So says Rav Palim, the raya to the place he is from our sugya, that we say bitl brov b'chaticha achas, because over here it's a woman that borrowed from her friend water and salt and kneaded it into a dough or made a cooked dish with it. So the entire dish, the Gemara is still raising the question, why don't we say bitl brov and it should be able to go, it should be able to be subject to the tchum of the woman who made the dish. What do you mean? It's chaticha achas. It's one big chaticha. How can you say bitl brov? So you see that the flour has drawn in all the water and has absorbed all the water, so still you see that chaticha achas, you would say bitl brov. So he thought our Gemara's a raya to the placey. But anyway, back in the Gemara, so the Gemara's raising the question, why taka don't we say bitl brov? So Amalu Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Abbas answers, Haresh Nisariv lo kav chitin, vasara kav chitin, shel chavero, yochal halav. So this Rabbi Abba, who davened that his words should be accepted, he says, what do you mean bitl barov? If one guy has a kav of wheat and it gets mixed in with 10 kavin of his friend's wheat, so would you say, oh, the friend just won? Reuven has one kav of wheat that got mixed into 10 kavin of Shimon's wheat. Shimon's like, I guess I have 11 kavin of wheat because one kav was bitl barov. It's bitl mine. So the bailus is bitl, so it's all mine, and Reuven loses. No, you don't say such a thing. That's ridiculous. So when he said that, everyone laughed at him. So Amr Lahu, he said, what, did I play a prank or something? Did I grab your coats? Did I take your jackets or something? Why are you laughing? I didn't play a practical joke. So, hadrachikwale. Then they laughed at him again. So Amar Rav Oshia, shapir avadachikwale. Rav Oshia says, yeah, they did the right thing by laughing at him. They should laugh at him because maishna chitim besorim delok amar luhu. What example did he give of bitl? He gave an example where chitim gets mixed in with other chitim. Why didn't he give an example where chitim gets mixed in with sa'orim, davle min b'sheinu mino? There's a reason he didn't give that example, because chitim and sa'orim are two different kinds. Umin b'sheinu mino batel. And min b'sheinu mino is actually batel, meaning even Rabbi Abba would be moda that the bal ha-sa'orim would be able to eat everything if chitim gets mixed into the sa'orim. So chitim b'chitim nami, nihida l'Rabbi Yudah lo batel, l'Rabban miftal batel. So by chitim mixed in with chitim as well, granted Rabbi Yehuda's min b'mino zeno batel, but according according to the Rabbanan, who we paskin like, min b'minos batal as well. So that's why they laughed at him. He dafka set up the case in such a way where he thought bittel won't be shayich. But bittel is shayich over there, because we hold like the Rabbanan. So Amalei Rav Safra said to Rav Oshia, who defended those who were laughing at Rabbi Abba, Moshe, by the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, I swear, Shapir Ka'amrit, you're saying right Shapir Ka'amrit, rather, meaning a bitmiya. Do you think you're saying right to defend those who are cholik on Rabbi Abba? Lo shmiluhu, hada amr Rabbi Chia katosva mishmei derav. Did these rabbanim not know of Rabbi Chia katosva, said in the name of Rav, that a borot sroros migrano shel chavero, that if a person pulls out some rocks from his friend's wheat, so the chayiv l'shalim lo d'mei chitim, he has to pay him for the volume of rocks that he pulled out, for the value of that wheat of that same volume of the rocks that he pulled out. Meaning, normally when people sell wheat, it's understood that in the wheat there's going to be a little bit of rocks and pebbles that are stuck in, that are in there, and whoever buys it will have to sift it out. So if I purify your wheat that you're trying to sell, I'm really robbing from you, because you would have been able to sell the whole thing b'toras wheat. Now you have less because I pulled out all the rocks. So even though I took away nothing of value, all I took away is the rocks, I still have to pay you for that wheat. So Alma, what do you see from the fact that Yechayiv, you see that Kila Chasre, that he cost him some of the measurement of what he wanted, because now he's going to have to, of what he had originally, because now he's going to have to add wheat to fill in the missing space. So even though the Avanim are worth nothing, we still see that the Din Mamon is so strict. So Hachanami, by water and salt as well, where it's a small amount of the entire dish that was made, but since they're worth money, kila chasre, so it's no different than a chisaron of the actual measurement of the final dish. So money is not batel. The mayim and the melech are not batel just because they're a small amount. So even though by iser it's shayich bittel, but when you have din mamon mixed in by dine tchumen, which are all tali and din mamon, there's not going to be bittel. Tosus makes this point in the top tosus over here, that over here tchumen is not tali in Isra Vahatr. Tchumen is Tali in Mammon. So Mammon is not going to be Batal. We don't say Bittel in Dine Mammonis. So Amalei Abaye says to Rav Safra, you compare this to a case of pulling rocks out of wheat to the Din of our Mishnah, and that's why it's not Batal. Velo Shani Le'lemar bin Mammon Sheyesh L'Tovin Mammon Sheyen L'Tovin. Do you not hold of a difference between Mammon Sheyesh L'Tovin when you pull rocks out of somebody's wheat, out of Reuven's wheat? So you owe Reuven money. Reuven is the one who lost money over here. Whereas the Din of the Mishnah and Yantif is Mamon Shein Lo Tovin, because the woman lent her the water and the salt to the woman who's making the dough until after Yantif. So there's no one claiming, there's no one with a taina on the money. So you can't compare a case of Mamon Sheishla. So if all it is Nisr Shvisa because of the Mamon that's mixed in, so over here it's a miyut, it's Mamon Shein Lo Tovin. Mamon Shein Lo Tovin should not be considered like Mamon. So it should be like a regular din of Isser without a din of Mamon, and it should be Bata like any other din of Isser. So Amalei, Rav Safra responded to Abaye, Ulutameich, according to you, that the din of Bittel Mammon is that if it's Yesh Lo Tovin, it's not Batel, if it's Ein Lo Tovin, it's Batel. Hadam Rav Chista, that which Rav Chista said, according to Rav Yehuda, that Nevela, Betela, Bishchuta, that if you have a Kezayis of Nevela that gets mixed in with many Kezayisim of Shchuta, so it is going to become Batel in the Shchuta, and therefore if you touch one of the Chatichos and you don't know which one you touch, you're not Tame, because we assume the Nevela becomes Batel in the Shchuta. Why? Lefishiyef shel shchuta sheteas nevela, because that is min b'she'en omino. A shchuta can never become nevela. Nothing could ever happen to the shchuta that will become nevela. But shchuta ain't a betel b'nevela. In the reverse case, a shchuta will not become batel in the nevela. Why? Lefishiyef shel nevela sheteas shchuta, because a nevela can become kasher. The halacha is that if a nevela becomes ain't a ru'ya leger, if it becomes ain't a ru'ya lachila, so then it becomes kasher. So since it could become not ru'ya lachila and become kasher, so it's considered min b'sheino mino, it's considered min b'mino rather, and therefore it's not subject to bittel. So achinami d'chiyis la bailim lo batla. So we hear as well, when it gets mixed in the nevela with the shchuta, and the nevela has bailim, should we say that it's not batel? Because that, according to Abaye, that should be the din, that moment sheyesh lo tovim is never going to be batel. So, but clearly it's batel even when it has bailim. So you see from here that when there is bittel, it doesn't depend on the bailim whether it's yesh lo tovim or ein lo tovim.
So the same is true by our Mishnah. The din mamun, and it should have a din mamun, it should not be subject to bittul, and it shouldn't be subject at all whether yesh lo tovin or ain lo tovin. And if you're going to say that bittul is talion whether you have a bailim or not, and Rav Chis said batla, it means when it's ain la bailim, vatanya am Rav Yochanan ben Uri, chefze hefker, konin shvisa. Rav Yochanan ben Uri says that objects of hefker are konin shvisa. You're not allowed to take them more than 2,000 amos from the place that you found them, even though there is no bailim that whose tchum they could be subject to. Domin kamishayishlam bailim. We view them as if they have bailim, and therefore they are kona their own tchum. So you see that even mamon that doesn't have bailim is considered mamon. So by nevela also, when it doesn't have bailim, it should be batel, even though it's considered mamon. So too it's batel when it's yeshlo bailim, when it has bailim. So the same would therefore be true by our mishnah. Even though it's ein lo tovin, it should not be batel in the mayim. And the shame mamon is not batel in the mayim and the melech, so it should not become batel. So the Gemara says, Armalei, so Abaye says to Rav Safra that the Mishnah still doesn't work out, even though mamon is not batel. Mikam adamas isur lemamona, can you compare isur to mamon? Meaning, we're not trying to say that we should lose the mamon of the bal of the woman who owns the flower. We're trying to say about an isur tchumen over here. Isura batel, mamona lo batel. When it comes to the Isser Shabo, so that's Batel. Mamun, you're right. Mamun is not going to be Batel. So since Rabbi Abba is not so clear in the Mishnah that the Mayim and the Melech are not Batel, so Rabbi Abba's answer didn't work in spite of his tefillah. So now the Gemara is going to raise the question, and we'll start with this tomorrow, Taima Mai. So why Taka is it that we say that the Mayim and the Melech are not going to be Batel? Okay.